Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour.
Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Governor Jim Gilmore is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's former governor of the great state of Virginia. He was the chairman of the Congressional Advisory Panel to assess domestic response capabilities for terrorism involving weapons of mass destruction. It's such a long name, they just called it the Gilmore Commission, which was in operation in the late 90s and the early part of this century. He's a former chairman of the National Republican Committee. But the thing that he's the most proud of, and I know that he is that he's a member of our Brain Trust. And I know he gets really excited when I talk about that. Governor Gilmore, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. It's good to have a chance to talk to you.
It's good to have you back, and that is what you're the most proud of, isn't it? That you're a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust.
I certainly am. It's fun to have a chance to come on every now and then and talk to all your listeners, and you know, it's just as important as having been governor of the state.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I appreciate you being here, and quickly, I know you just got back from Alaska. You made a trip to Alaska, and you know. I know some people from Alaska, but I've never been there, and I've always wanted to. How did you find Alaska? Had you been? Was that the first time you'd been to this state?
Yeah, Jim, it's the first time I'd ever been to Alaska, and I've got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, the cities are a little smaller. Anchorage is the biggest city, and it's a reasonably small city, but it had a lot of nice things in it, good restaurants, and it was very enjoyable. But the reason you go to Alaska is for the natural environment. And we took one of the boat rides up and looked at the glaciers. That is incomparable. It's something that people who are down in the lower 48 really just don't understand.
If you've never seen a glacier, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Very, very impressive. They come right down the mountain and right into the water. They're blue color. It's really pretty fantastic. And then I had a chance to even go up country and do a little fishing.
That's good. Well, now the Alaskans are a little bit different than everybody else, aren't they?
Rugged individuals.
They're rugged folks, aren't they?
I mean, you got to ask yourself why go up there, and you know, in that kind of weather. And the answer is that they're looking for an opportunity to be kind of rugged individualists, and I think that you see that and feel that the whole time you're up there.
One of the big issues these days is our energy policy. And one of the important components of that energy policy, and perhaps one of the most controversial, is the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, which also happens to sit on top of a very large petroleum reserve, crude oil reserve. And so the debate is, and the controversy is, over whether we should drill there. Where it is a national wildlife preserve, and so you know the greenies and the environmentalists don't want us to drill there, and the people who want that oil want us to drill there. And what do you think the Alaskans think?
Well, I think the Alaskans very clearly think that we should be drilling in ANWR. They really believe that that ought to be done. And I'll explain that a little bit. But in a larger sense, I think the country has got to move as rapidly as possible to a sound energy policy that gets us away from being economically independent on other people and other places. Mm-hmm. And we've done a lot of that now with our petroleum reserve and some other efforts that have been made with national legislation. But we just have to do more to make sure that we're not dependent upon the whims of other countries and other people. With that being said, I think that it's pretty clear that the Alaskans will explain to you that ANWR is a desolate area. It's not like there's great forest or anything or rainforest or anything of that nature. It's just a flat plain, the way they described it to me, with nothing there. There are some caribou that will go across there, but one thing I learned is there are caribou in a lot of places in Alaska. They range by the hundreds of thousands all over the countryside, and there's lots of room for them. And, in fact, there are some environmental dangers there that have nothing to do with ANWR that everybody thinks you need to control so that the wildlife is preserved. But ANWR is apparently just a large, desolate place. Where you could do a small amount of drilling and recover the place properly and have virtually no impact whatsoever. And then on the other side of that coin, you would have more energy independence.
Right, exactly. It seems to me that we have to take advantage of these opportunities that we have. And as we are changing, as we are morphing our dependence upon any kind of petroleum, and not just our own petroleum, but anybody else's petroleum, this country's got to move towards some kind of energy self-sufficiency, don't we?
Yes, we do, and there's no reason why you can't put together a plan that is going to blend all of these things and find ways to use less petroleum on a day-to-day basis, but at the same time, and then substitute other forms of energy,
right.
Whether it's nuclear or whatever it is, or coal. You can find other ways of doing it.
Everything's got to be on the table. We've got to consider all these options. Governor Gilmore is a national security expert and a homeland security expert, and he's going to talk to us when we come back. After these messages about what he thinks about what you and I should be doing, what the country should be doing regarding homeland security, right after these messages, it's 20 till. Stay with us.
And we are airplanes today.
The Atlanta Rhythm Section, folks. That's probably a great theme song for small business owners. Do it no matter what. Do it or die. That's the way we are, aren't we? That's the way we run our businesses, and it's the reason we survive sometimes, isn't it? And somebody who knows all about that is our good friend Governor Jim Gilmore. As a politician, as a former governor of one of the 50 states, he knows all about dealing with adversity and difficulty. And Governor, now that you're in the private sector and you're out there working on these issues, especially along the areas of homeland security. There's been a lot of discussion lately about homeland security. We saw the first opportunity for the new regime where FEMA has come under homeland security. We saw that happening, I guess, for the first time with Katrina, and a lot of people felt it was wanting.
Yeah, Jim, my view is this. There's a lot of discussion now about removing FEMA from homeland security. I think that you've got to get an organization and stick with it. I kind of like the idea of FEMA having some oversight within the Department of Homeland Security. There's too much of a tendency to want to just move the deck chairs around and try to consider that to be a solution. I think the better answer is to have a clear picture about what FEMA's role is and should be. FEMA shouldn't take upon itself the duty of fixing everything every time that there's a catastrophe.
But that's what seemed to have happened, though, in this case. I mean, you got the idea that nobody really understood, and maybe still some people still don't, that FEMA doesn't own any trucks. They don't have really any assets to mobilize. Their job is not as a first responder.
And if the expectation is that they're going to be the first responder, then that means they're going to throw giant sums of taxpayer money at problems.
Yep.
In order to try to preserve their own reputation, and that's not suitable. Instead, I think the correct thing to do is to understand that they are only partners in this program, that the real burden and obligation is on locals and states to make sure that they have programs and policies and procedures in place to deal with any kind of catastrophe, whether it's a terrorist response or whether it's a natural catastrophe, and expect FEMA to come in as a good, solid federal partner. That's my experience when I was governor of Virginia, and it's a partnership that works very, very well. But it didn't work particularly well in these last instances, and we have to begin to, I think, move towards more of a local model. And Jim, I have formed an organization called NCORP, National Council on Readiness and Preparedness, and your listeners can look at that at NCORP, NCORP.org, and that is a program. It's a 501c3. It's designed to exercise private initiative, not wait around for some government someplace in Washington to do it. Take the burden on us, ourselves, as local officials and community leaders and businesses to get out there and prepare for a catastrophe, whether it's a terrorist catastrophe or a natural catastrophe.
What would be the reason for, a small business to know about this?
It's very important, as a matter of fact. First of all, it's an opportunity for networking. InCorp is an opportunity to get in really, really close touch with state and local officials who will, frankly, become customers and need services, expert services at some point, of people who need to supply things in order to deal with natural catastrophes. But it's much more than that. It's really an invitation to leadership. And one thing we see from small business owners is they have the character and quality of leadership.
Absolutely.
We need leadership and initiative in the communities of this country, not at some far-flung place where we sit around and suffer and wait for somebody somewhere else to pick up our shoes and do things for us. We need local leadership, and local business leaders provide that.
Well, and I want to thank you and congratulate you on the work that you're doing, Governor, because what you have done since you've been in private practice now for the last few years has been to get the debate going, get the discussion going, make the introductions happen between the government entities and the entities that are involved in Homeland Security, that are involved in being first responders, to get those people connected to the business community and get all those folks talking together.
Well, that's right. And InCorp is nonpartisan. It's, in fact, a 501c3. People who contribute to it are contributing, we believe, to the
national
interest.
That's a nonprofit, folks, very much like your Chamber of Commerce.
Exactly. And, anything that's given to it is tax deductible. But the goal here is to prepare the nation through a different concept, and that is to focus our attention on local leadership, local businesses, local community, supported by the states. And then the federal government should and will come in and be good partners. But to sit around passively and wait for somebody in Washington to think up all the plans and provide all the money just doesn't work.
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning this, Governor, because and I assume that you agree with me when I've said over the last couple of weeks that we don't need the Gulf states don't need the government, the federal government, putting $200 billion into the recovery down there. That recovery needs to be done by private sector with help from the government, but not being led by the federal government.
Well, I think that's correct, Jim. And the trouble we've got, I think, in the largest sense in the country is that the American taxpayer is sort of a nameless, faceless person who is expected just to write their check every quarter.
Right.
And then giant sums of money go all over the place to do all kinds of things. The American taxpayer simply cannot be the insurer of last resort for everyone, or we'll just end up going broke.
Well, that's exactly well, and I'm afraid that's kind of where we are. We're going to take a quick break, Governor. And when we come back, folks, we might get over into a little bit of politics. I've got a couple of other questions I want to ask the Governor about Homeland Security, and then we'll wrap up with him. It's almost 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Governor Jim Gilmore. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sunshine came softly through my window today. Tripped out D.C., but I've changed my way. It'll take time, I know it, but in a while.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Governor Jim Gilmore, the governor, former governor of the great state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, perhaps I should say, and former chairman of the Republican National Committee, and now working really hard to get governments and businesses talking to each other about this Homeland Security thing, which Governor, as we know, involves more than just terrorism. It's now become very apparent to us that Homeland Security actually includes hurricane security and hurricane relief. And I want to say something to you and get your thoughts on this. And my audience has heard me say this before. I'm now saying that the Tuesday and Wednesday after the Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, at a time when I actually was saying, I wish we could get water and food to these people, and everybody, the media was down there saying, why doesn't somebody do something about this? And the locals and state people were saying, why doesn't somebody do something about this? And, of course, everybody was then looking to the government. And as it turns out, FEMA and Mr. Brown, director of FEMA Brown, were the ones who took the hit on that, and by association, President Bush. And so in order to recover from that, the Bush administration is now first they fired Mr. Brown, which I believe basically I don't know whether how incompetent he was. I think he was more of an innocent bystander. But also He took one for the team, unintentionally probably. But I'm saying that Tuesday and Wednesday, Governor, are going to wind up being the most expensive days in the history of this country, because now the Bush administration and the federal government is going to throw hundreds of billions of dollars at that situation down there, and I think it's a mistake.
Well, I think we have to think about how we protect the country. And you can make the American taxpayer the insurer of last resort, for even first resort, for everyone. And after a while, it's gonna create great disruptions in our budgets and in our country on behalf of individual taxpayers, like your listeners, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the big picture question is, how do you get this country ready? And I believe absolutely it has to be planning and preparation at the local and state level, supported by the feds.
The local and state people have got to be first responders, don't they?
Well, that's what NCORP is supposed to do. National Council on Readiness and Preparedness, 501c3. It's a community service type of organization that we've established on Homeland Security. And, you know, people can look at it, NCORP.org.
Well, I appreciate you getting that debate going, making the relationship possible between local government and state government and the marketplace. Do you think that Mr. Brown was a scapegoat, or do you think he deserved to be fired?
Well, I think that it all comes down to what reasonable expectations are. If you have unreasonable expectations that the federal government is going to fix everything automatically, then I think that you end up with a guy like Brown taking a hit. But I would prefer to see FEMA and Michael Brown and everybody else as partners in an overall coalition that failed, because we just have not done enough pre-planning and pre-work to prepare for these kinds of catastrophes. And tomorrow it could be man-made. And I'm going to tell your listeners, Jim, this can get worse.
Yep.
And it really can. A terrorist attack can be worse than this. And a biological attack or something of this nature. And as our commission said in the late 90s and early 2000s, you have to plan ahead, pre-prepare, get organized, understand who's in charge, which was the first thing we said in 1999, and get going. If people want to see that, by the way, you can look on the RAND Corporation webpage, RAND.org, and the Gilmore Commission reports, and you'll be able to read what we believe was the most comprehensive thinking about this in the first five years of thought about it.
There was some indication that the state of Louisiana was slow and reluctant and inept at accepting help from the federal government. Is this, as a former governor, was that something that the president could have done? Could he have made Louisiana take their help? Should he have said, look, I'm taking over? I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, you can federalize everything, and you can move in by federalizing the troops. And there's now some discussion about how we should be using more of the troops and the regular military to do this kind of thing.
What do you think?
I'm not in favor of that. I think that it's dangerous in the long run.
Well, we've abolished that 200 years ago, didn't we? The Posse Comitatus law.
We did. Posse Comitatus was established in order to say that we were not going to use the regular military in the streets of the United States on an ongoing basis. But now they can provide specialty work on behalf and support of local and state authorities. And if all breaks down, the president has the authority to go in that direction. But you ought not to be doing that. That's not the way to do things. The goal is to build up the states and locals.
When you're president of the United States, Governor Gilmore, we'll be looking for the way you'll handle these things. Thank you very much for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, Jim, thank you very much.
Governor Jim Gilmore, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.